Well, now, once more, I'm delighted to welcome back Brian Hughes of Shenfield-based solicitors, Rennie Hughes. So welcome back to Phoenix FM, Brian.
Pleased to be with you again, Scott.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, yes. I remember last time you came here, it was blazing hot, we had the windows open, and we got crows croaking the whole way through the chat. But not today, huh?
No danger this time.
No danger this time. Now, during the last couple of visits, you were looking at issues related to deeds and property, but you're changing direction big time this week, are you not?
From property, well, yes, and perhaps no. I'm looking at divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I'm adding just a note of caution is that during my years as a divorce lawyer, I found that men tended to regard their wives as possessions.
And so they are.
No, no. And that, well, that justifies what I'm saying. And that if they were going to lose one possession, they weren't going to lose anything else.
Too right.
It was a Victorian attitude which persisted despite the introduction of the Married Women's Property Act in 1870. And I wonder if you're aware, in this respect, how many husbands were poisoned by their wives until the introduction of the first divorce laws in the 19th century?
No, I wasn't. That's totally news to me. What did they do? Shove something in their sandwiches?
Yes, you better have a look at your sandwiches.
Well, I think I had. On one occasion, I did actually say to my wife, have we had a huge row that I didn't know about? And she said, no, why? I said, well, you give me my sandwiches, nothing in them. Anyway, you're going to give us another history lesson today.
Well, no. Before these new laws were introduced, people swore to live until death do they part, mm-hmm. for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. When they got married, there was no way out. Marriage was quite literally for life. The only legal way out was by Act of Parliament, but initially these laws only applied to the aristocracy, which is probably why large numbers of working-class people in the 19th century didn't get married.
OK, so tell us briefly what these early laws allowed.
Well, originally there were four statutory grounds on which one could get a divorce. First was non-consummation of the marriage. The second was cruelty. No one can be expected to live in an abusive relationship. And cruelty has gradually been extended from physical cruelty to mental cruelty. It's usually the woman who suffers the abuse. This is now called unreasonable behaviour and extends, for example, to drunkenness and drug-taking and refusing to pay for housekeeping. The third was adultery and the fourth was desertion.
But of course, to be successful, any action would have needed proof, would it not?
Absolutely. So litigation would ensue, and the only people who really benefited were divorce lawyers. Untold misery could be caused to the divorcing couple and to their children.
So is there a simpler procedure that's now in use?
Yes. Adultery, cruelty or unreasonable behaviour and desertion are still grounds for divorce. But if the parties can agree between themselves that the marriage has broken down, you can now have divorce by consent. As Lord Denning sagely observed, marriage breakdown is a misfortune which befalls both parties and for which neither is entirely to blame. And this marked the end of the blame culture. Divorce by consent after 2 years of living apart was introduced and took a great deal of the stress and expense out of divorce. However, lawyers remain very much involved because of the way in which divorce proceedings are structured. First of all, one has to obtain a decree nisi. Now, nisi is the Latin word for unless. A decree nisi, that's to say, a divorce will be granted unless the grounds can be shown to have been fabricated, that comes first.
Well, that may be the ideal, but does it actually work in practice?
Unfortunately, many spouses are not prepared to accept divorce by consent and go to battle over the grounds of divorce, usually in an attempt to humiliate the other party or justify themselves and the amounts they're expected to receive or pay. And these are the cases that often appear in the newspapers, particularly the high-profile couples. And, of course, the financial issues involved are always going to be difficult, especially where children are involved. It's essential that all financial and custody arrangements are agreed, by the way, by way of a consent order before any wife should apply for a decree absolute. As I mentioned at the start of our discussion, until I became a family mediator in 1996, I found that men tended to regard their wives as possessions, and that if they were going to lose one possession, they were not going to lose anything else. I found that women invariably wanted to retain custody of and control over the children of the marriage, and that men used money as a bargaining chip, and that women used the children of the marriage in the same way. In the middle of all this were the children themselves, and many a child's life has been ruined by warring parents. My late wife, a psychologist, and I qualified as mediators, family mediators, in 1995, and tried to set up a mediation and counselling service called Resolve, because we appreciated that most divorcing couples could do with counselling before they embarked on the divorce process.
So what does a mediator actually do in practice?
Well, firstly, the mediator sits the couples down with a low table between them so they can't hit each other, with the mediator seating a few feet away.
So he's not going to be
so the couple can't hit the mediator either, should they ever think of doing so.
Right.
The mediator doesn't actually give any advice. That's left to the solicitors acting for the parties, but attempts to facilitate discussion between the parties, thereby cutting down almost completely barbed letters between the solicitors advising the parties.
Now, that's an important point, of course, given the sharp reduction in the availability of legal aid, is it not?
Indeed so. As wives in particular invariably find themselves at a disadvantage, and many are forced to appear in court without representation. In fact, the number of litigants in person has risen dramatically, and this has resulted in a considerable workload for judges, who often have to explain to the parties what they would have had explained to them by solicitors had legal aid been available. Divorce is a vast subject because it affects so many aspects of life. All I would say as a former divorce lawyer is that from my experience, the people most likely to divorce are the couples who spend most of their most on their weddings and who don't look beyond that day to the future they hope to lead together. Compatibility and togetherness is a long-term consideration, and the glamour of a wedding upon which some couples spend inordinate time and expense is short-lived.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that particular one. It's probably why we're still together with my wife. We spent about £300, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, as you stress so often in our chats, it's always best for the parties to try to agree as many of the salient points as possible in order to minimise the otherwise potentially expensive legal fees.
Yeah.
So what will you aim to be covering next time?
Well, I think I should deal with the subject of leasehold management charges in a bit more detail next time. These are very much in the news these days, as you've probably read in the papers, and I think that's a useful subject to cover.
Well, that sort of takes us back to what we've been talking about the last couple of times over deeds, etc., and I think that's very worthwhile, because I think that is a terrible con, what's been going on there.
Oh, yeah, and there are lots and lots of management companies who just really take money for doing precious little from leaseholders. I'd like to see it much more regulated and much less expense. Very often the management companies charge as much as the solicitor who's done all the work.
Well, you know, it's absolutely outrageous. Anyway, we'll look forward to that. Thank you very much indeed, Brian.